history goes according to the Seder of Daf Yomi. And what's the next Masechta in there? Rosh Hashanah. Oh, so that's it? Yeah. Because the big ones don't go in the proper order. It's Beitzah and then Rosh Hashanah. I mean, it's obviously arbitrary, but it's the next Masechta is Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we are on Dr. Kim Omer Alf. As of tonight, by the way, we will be 23 block behind, which means we've actually caught up about 10 block in the past month or two. So actually, it's in Shkolim, it's 31 block, so we're really ahead, but I have to take Pesach into account at this point. So, it's working out so far. Okay. We, and our branch here in Minneapolis is going to do very well. The guy got a message from the guy that likes the tapes. I haven't heard anything from London. All right. We are in the Daf Yud Gimel, the new Perek. Halach Aleph. Perek Yud Gimel. Ain't sonny doggy mina beaverin. You're not allowed to hunt down fish from a fish pond. Because the general principle is whenever something is already in a restricted area, so then you're allowed to take it on Yontif and slaughter it, right? Or in case of fish, eat it. But if the fish are in a fish pond, that's not considered to be restricted area because that's how fish live. Venus of name is Onus, and simply since they are not, because they're considered to be domesticated when they're in the water, so therefore you can't feed them either. But one is allowed to hunt down a chaya, an animal, or an oaf, a bird, nina biborim, from pens which enclose them. Because in that case, it's really considered to be an enclosure vis-a-vis the animal, so as if it's already trapped. And that's why you're allowed to take the animal for their yontif. And similarly, since it's already domesticated, you can feed them. Obviously, it depends on the size of the pen. Not all pens are equivalent. Zakal's general principle. Call Mechusru Tzeda, anything which is lacking hunting down, meaning it's not completely considered trapped yet, also it's forbidden to take that animal on Yontif. If it's not lacking trapping, then it is Mutter. And the world is going to ask, why use the language of Osir and Mutter? You should use the language of Chayv and Potter. Because Tzeda's and Melacha Daraisa is forbidden, or Daraisa on Shabbos and Yontif, so the language should be used to be Chayv and Potter, not Mutter and Osir. The Gemara will address it. What? Yeah, it's Gila. Now, Yontif is only a lav. Or Omloch Yontif is only a lav. Amrabi Chinna said, Masisin Lok Rabbi Yehuda, our mission is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The three of them we learned over there. Rabbi Yehuda made a tzad tzipor lemigdo. If somebody captures a bird in a tower, mitzvila bayis, and a deer into a house, chayev. Well, it sounds like it has to be in a very restricted area. It has to be in a tower, which is really a closet. The word migdol in the Gemara, although it means tower, is like a closet, you know, like you have in Israel, the closets which are freestanding and our own. Our own means closet. Yeah, but
cedar table migdol.
Right, and those are freestanding closets, yeah. Right? That's really what it is. So you have it in that closet, or it's tzvila bayis, or a deer, at least into a house, it's chayv. Olgino be born, put butter. But if it's in a gino or a pitub, or a bibor, then if you catch the animal, you trap in a gino or a bibor, then you're exempt. Now, if you're exempt and you catch it in a gino or a bibor, that means gino or bibor is not considered to be trapped. And the converse of that is that if that's not considered to be trapped, so then you would not be allowed to take an animal from one of these enclosures on Yontif in order to supply yourself with meat. Right, so therefore our mission, which allows you to take one of these enclosures, because it's already considered to be trapped in the enclosure, that must be not like Rabbi Yehuda. Says more further, now skip the next three lines, Carbonator takes them out. Mechal v'shitasid Rabbonin. We have a contradiction, Rabbonin. The Tietha, when we learn to the Chachomim say, Tzipor l'migdo, when you have a bird in the tower, the closet, Utzvilagino, or the deer, in a garden, ulechotzer, or a yard, ulbivarim, and a bivar is considered all to be caught. V'tninon, and we learned, however, avot tzadin chayev ov mina bivarim, You know, our Mishnah just mentions a Bibor, it doesn't mention Chatzer and Gino. It says if it's in a Bibor, it's okay. We'll see if the name is Zonas, and therefore you can also give them food when they're in the Bibor, because that's considered to be domesticated. But Ha, it sounds like Ligino, Lichotzer, the Korb Day changes, Migino, Michotzer, Lo. You're not allowed to, you're only allowed to take it from a Bibor, not from an enclosure, not from a Gino or a Chatzer. So how do we reconcile our Mishnah, which seems only to recognize it being trapped in a bivor, with this Brisa, which seems to recognize it being considered trapped even in a yino or a garden or a chotzer or a courtyard? So first of all, Gemara gives an interesting answer, and the Gemara will immediately reject it. Kam b'chotzer mekura, kam b'chotzer shein mekura. Depends if it has a roof or not. If the chotzer has a roof, then it's considered to be caught in there, even if it's a chotzer, a courtyard, and not a bivor. Not an enclosure made for the purpose of corralling an animal. Even a chotzer, if it has a roof, it's considered to be corralled. She'ena makura, kam chotzer she'ena makura, if it has no roof, then it's not going to be corralled there. Says Gemara, wait a minute, I don't understand how you can say that. But Tzina Gino, in a chotzer, we have chotzeros which are enclosed. A mall is an enclosed chotzer, right? But you never have a gina, which is enclosed. They didn't have a concept of atriums back then, right? So you don't have an enclosed garden. There's no such thing. So how can you draw a dichotomy between enclosures and non-enclosures by a garden? It doesn't work. Yitzchok Lemeimer, Gino Makura, you ever hear of enclosed garden? Ela kambikdoi, ela kambiktano. This really was what we said in the Mishnah. Depends how large it is. Sometimes the gina and chotzer are very small. And then when it's in the gina or chotzer, that's considered to be caught. Sometimes the gina and the chotzer are very large, and then it's not considered to be caught when it's in the gina or chotzer. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Ula Amar, Rabbi Ula said, Bun kumi Rabbi Acha, the answer from Rabbi Acha, Ma nisne, what should we say? Should we say, like it says in the Mishnah, Osir and Mutter, remember I told you it would be an issue, or should we say, call Mechusar Tzeda Chayev? If you have not yet caught it before Yontif, and you catch on Yontif, you're Chayev. Rishenim Mechusar Tzedev, it's not lacking Tzedev, you did catch for you. The pot, you're exempt. Amar Lon, so he said, no. The Lobanog, Tzosokhana Kayomin, aren't we talking about a case where you already locked it in? Now, this is a very interesting thing, Gemara's saying. Gemara's saying, look, the bottom line is, as long as it's in a locked bivor, a locked corral or enclosure before Shah Yonta began, or Shabbos began even though it might not be considered Nitzo Durabonon, because it has a large room to roam, but as long as it's under lock somewhere, that's considered to be sufficiently trapped that you won't transgress the Issur D'oraisa of Tzedah. We're talking about a Durabonon level, what's considered to be not just caught, figured literally, but also what is considered to be sufficiently muchan. Because remember, Mesechus Beitz is really Mesechta about muchan. So that which is muchan, and that which is muchan, prepared to eat, has to be something which is in more narrower confines. So therefore he said, that's why, elokom mechusar tzeda osur, that which is lacking tzeda is forbidden. Shein mechusar tzeda, that which is not lacking tzeda is mutter, is permissible. Again, we're talking about the drabaran of muktzah, not the derisa of actual tzeda. As long as it's under lock in the corral, no matter how large it is, that's considered to be ois, no longer in the category of tzeda derisa. Am Rabbi Shmuel, Shmuel said, Achui de Rabbi Brechia. Rabbi Shmuel, the brother of Rabbi Brechia, said, Koshim chusim yishabim. Now, I think he's explaining the previous Gemara, and he's saying, although the Mefarshim don't make it clear, anytime it's lacking nets, Mechusar Tzeda. But if you need a net to catch it, obviously it's in the wild. The only way you can catch it is by a net or a trap. That's considered to be not hunted down yet. She'ena Mechusar Nishav Mislein, which is not lacking nets, meaning it doesn't need a net to trap it. And Mechusar Tzeda is not considered to be lacking trapping. And therefore, even if it's in a large enclosure, since you don't need a net, you just run it down until you finally get it. So therefore, it's considered to be sufficiently caught that it's not an issur d'oraisa on Shabbos, only an issur d'rabbanan to use it in order to eat from, because it's not considered to be fully prepared.
How about closing the door?
The door must be closed.
This seems to be saying that the standard is net versus not net rather than door.
Right.
So those could be that the door is closed, but there's no net present to be able to capture the animal.
No, if you need a net, then it's issur d'oraisa. If you don't need a net, it's issur d'rabbanan. Even though you'll need some other tool in order to trace it down.
Yes. So it could be that if it's, the door is closed, you won't need a net.
Right. Because nets are generally associated with actually trapping animals in the wild. You know, you have nets which spring from trees and nets which catch them in the ground. So that's actually the type of net we're talking about. Not like a butterfly net, you know, not like something which you pull down over its head, but rather a trapping net, okay? Bear in mind, you know, we can't use most traps because they'll trap up an animal. You know, you can't use a bear trap on a deer because who knows what it'll do. So really, the only kinds of traps which we can actually use in hunting is the net. It's a famous tshuva of the Nayib Yehuda. Nayib Yehuda was asked by an Austro-Hungarian Jewish nobleman. He asked him, am I allowed to go hunting with my goyish friends? So he said, listen, Pidin, I can't answer it for you. But look, what is hunting for a nice Jewish boy? Esav was the hunter. Yaakov was the Ishtam Yoshev Oholi. What kind of business is this? You're going to stop, go and be cruel to animals for sport? Right? You can't eat them once you hunt them. So therefore, it's he said, it's, although it's not technically halachically forbidden, it should nevertheless not a proper Jewish thing. Kind of like competitive team sports. Okay. It says, to go on further.
You can always use a tranquilizer.
Yeah, I don't know if they had that back in 18th century Prague. Maybe. It says, to go on further. Sholchi minan nagarim. One is allowed to slaughter animals from a nagar. Now, a nagar is kind of the same thing as a beaver. It's a different word for it. The word nagar means it has a water source in it, like a flowing nigar. Nahan nigar means something which drips or flows. So so there's a water source usually in the bivor for the animals, of course, to get watered on. You know,
what's the word for carpenter? Yeah, it's what I was going to say. It's
also carpenter, right? Nagar, but nagar has many meanings. What can I tell you? Not sure where the word nagar for carpenter actually comes from. I don't know. But nagar for water, nahar, I think the carbonator brings down a pasuk even here. Maybe I'm making that up. But he doesn't say, doesn't bring down a pasuk. But I think somebody actually saw brought down a pasuk. But it's similar to the nagar is like nahar. So ein shochti lo mina mechmoros lo mina metzudos. However, one cannot slaughter an animal when one finds it in a trap. Mechmoros are one type of trap, and metzudos are another type of trap. If you find them on yontif, now according to the Karmel, the reason you can't shechti find them in a trap on yontif is because maybe they weren't muchan from before yontif. Maybe they're just trapped on yontif itself. Right? You went out to the forest and checked your traps and found an animal there. You don't know it was there before yontif, so maybe it was caught on yontif. It's forbidden. The Yerushalmi Mavur gives a slightly different reason. He says that the traps those days were not so efficient. It was easy to get out of the traps, or not so easy, I guess, but it was possible. So therefore, an animal which is in a trap is not going to be fully caught. When it's in an enclosure, it can't work itself loose, so therefore it's going to be caught. But when it's in the trap, it's not fully, you know, my sense of it fights a lot, I guess, and get out, so therefore it's not going to be fully trapped yet. Rabbi said, "Boom b'shem Rabbi." Rabbi said, "B'mitzarta de shesia." I don't know exactly what this net looks like. It's a net which is made out of shesi, certain types of thread, shesi thread, not Arab threads. Shesi threads are generally softer, weaker threads. So I guess that it's possible for the animal to get out. More likely for the animal to get out. That's the way the Yerushalmi Mavur explains it. Shmuel Maritzaru b'pitom. Shmuel says, if it's caught in a pitom, which is another type of trap, I forget what kind of trap that is, then the carbonate says a place where you fatten birds for the kill. So a pitom, pita lefatain means like the fattened geese. So if you have it in a fattening pen, so that's considered to be properly caught from before yontif. Rav Amar, Sukha de Nahara Shari, if you have a dam in the river where the fish are, so then you're allowed to take the fish which are behind the dam. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi said, Behu de Tosim. It's with one with two boards. Now, means the dam has to have a board in front and a board in back, because otherwise the fish can swim upstream and get out. So it has to have a double dam. One to keep the fish in on one side, the other keep the fish on the other side. How the fish get in there? I guess they're stupid. Somehow they manage to get in and not get out. You know, like the bees who get into the traps and sukkahs, they manage to get in and not get out. So here too, somehow the fish get in and don't get out, and that's considered to be sufficiently caught for purposes of yontif. Okay, mitzudas chayev ve'ofos v'dogim. If you have traps of chayos, ofos, and dogim, animals, birds, and fish, shasam me'erv yontif, you made them on erev yontif. Well, you tell me erev yontif, you may not take from them animals on yontif. Only ken yodesh, and you told me, but yom, unless you know the animals were actually in the nets from before yontif began. So my son Goya brought fish to Rabban Gamliel on Yotif, and he said, I'm allowed to take them. I just don't want to take them from him. He wouldn't be machmir on himself, whether it's because he didn't want to take from a Goya, Matona, or because he didn't want to people to think that this was Austin Yotif is doing. Nonetheless, it doesn't say, but he didn't want to take them. Says more, Mimodia, how do you know it's called before Yotif? Whose tongue is going to tell you what was caught before Yontif? So there's more. In this Kalkala Mitsuda, they used to make, the way the Bavli actually describes it, they used to have very long nets, which should stretch for miles across the forest. Miles, literally, but these were stretched for a long time. So even though you didn't check the entire net on Yontif, if you went before Yontif begins, if you went before Yontif and you saw that there was tension in the wires, that there was something which seemed to be awry, wasn't normally strong, so that's a good indication that there's something caught further down. And you can rely on that, and then the next day when you go and check the nets more closely, and you find an animal there, you can actually eat that animal. It's considered to be caught before Yontif. Okay? If the net was not ruined for him before Yontif, so then Dover Bari Yusha, Dover Bari Shaloni told me about Yomitzkin, they were not caught before Yontif began. Listen, guys, even if the Mitsuda is ruined, asked the Gemara, even if it's already seems to be sprung, the Chashlo Marsha Maloni Tzobodiyom, how do you know? How do you know that there actually was caught before Yontif? Maybe it's Tama, the net got ruined. How do you know that it's because of something got caught in there? So says Maram Rebbe, maybe a rock fell on it, maybe a tree, who knows? It's where you string the net in a forest, and in the forest, it obviously there are lots of animals, so you assume, I guess, the rove is the majority of the reasons why this trap would be sprung, would be animals, so therefore you can rely on that. If you see the trap sprung, ruined, so to speak, before Shabbos or Yontif, you can assume that it's an animal further down, and when you find it the next day, you can take it. You should know that this is talking about a case where you spread the nets in the forest. The thing we learned, dogim. We mentioned the fish. The dogim lo mokum shemitzuyin. Fish, where you string nets for them? Is it not where they are to be found? So here too, v'achem emokum shechayev mitzuyin. Here too, you strung the net in a place where there are lots of birds and animals. Rabbi Zira B'Shem Rav said, I remember they wanted to say, mutarin lemokum. Now, this is talking about a case where a goy brings in something a yontif. So we wanted to say that they wanted to say that it's only mutter the next day. If the goy brings in something a yontif, so you can use it the next day, and you don't. And it is also for that day, but it's mutter the next day. So what's the chiddush? That's okay. What's the next day? Happens the next day is a weekday. What's pashut? It's mutter the next day. Means you're allowed to accept it from him on yontif to eat it the next day. Okay, they thought that the chiddush was not that you're allowed to eat what the goy brings in yontif, but you're allowed to accept it from him, and then only eat it the next day. So the chiddush of our mishnah is that you don't have to send it back like Rabbi Gamliel did. So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Chizkia and Rabbi Zio Brady Rabbi Chunia, the Bras Chavron, they said mutar mamish. They said, no, when a guy brings something on Yontif, it's literally mutter immediately on that day. Sovereign Reimer, so they wanted to say that the reason why that is true is that Sveikon Hitiru, if you have a Sovik or something from prepared from before Yontif or not, you don't know if it was prepared, and certainly something which a guy brings, you don't know if it was prepared for Yontif. So it's mutter, a Sovik, it's only a Sovik to Rabbanon, though Kansu V'Achon is only to Rabbanon, so therefore they want to make them. They both said, Safi Chachin Osir. You know, not sure if something was prepared before Yontif or not, it's forbidden. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Safi Chachin Mutter. Safi, whether something is prepared, it's Mutter. Rabbi Chia and Rabbah, Rabbi Chia the Great, Rabbi Shimon Berebi, And Rabbi Shimon the son of Rebbe Chanamar once said a much more interesting chiddush. He said, second one was more chiddush. Once said Akum Tzorech Lechein, that even a goy has to prepare stuff for him before Yantar begins. And if he doesn't, so it's considered to be osur, but I guess in the suffix you'd have to be machmir. But Chanamar, the other said, Ein Akum Tzorech Lechein. I saw a beautiful pshat in this Yerushalmi of Avur. He says that a goy doesn't need to be al-chonam. By Yidin, by Jews, so they're maktsev, they're das from certain things. Things which they figure are not going to be mutar on yotiv, they're not going to use on yotiv. So there's migul diskatsoi ben hashmoshos, diskatsoi l'kuyam, but once was unsuitable ben hashmoshos, so it's unsuitable the rest of the day. But by goyim, what concept do they have of something being usher for them for any amount of time, right? They have no concept of mukta. So therefore there's no concept of achona by them either, right? Since there's no concept of prohibited days, no concept ever of anything being removed, which is mukta means, and therefore anything God brings you is by default considered to be mucha. It's a fascinating concept. Of course, if he did a malacha to bring it to you, such as, you know, he kind of chopped it off a tree, that's something else. But if all he did is just brought it to you and you had no das about it, so then there's no problem in actually accepting it from him. According to this opinion, that there's no problem, you know, akum enot zor chachin. It's a beautiful svara. So it says the Gemara, v'loyedi manamardo, we didn't know who said what. Which one Rabbi Chiya Rabba said, and which one Rabbi Shimba Rabbi said, min ma de rab mi boy betukme, since Rav wanted to come, or is supposed to come, before Rabbi Chiya Rabba. Mitukme means to stand before. Rabbi Chiya Rabba. He was supposed to come one day, and he came late. And Rabbi Chiya said to him, hey, Navisa, where were you? And Rav responded, Shayarta Havas Avra, there was a caravan passing by. Ravina Ocha Mine Teinim. And I used to, and I ate from it figs. And it was Yontif. It must be that Rabbi Chiya held that Goyim's food does not require special preparation, because obviously Rav was coming to Rabbi Chiya and telling him he ate the dates. That would be very not nice if Rabbi Chiya held the dates were also, right? So it must be that Rabbi Chiya is the one who holds that the caravan of Goyim, which brings dates, even though you had no thought of actually these dates coming from before Shabbos, or Yontif, when they come, you're allowed to consume them. Okay, so he doesn't need achana. I said dates, it's figs, actually.
That these figs were picked on Yantif?
We don't assume that was a caravan. Okay. It might even be dried figs. All right?
What about King Amchus meets Chum?
No, but since going and bringing for themselves, it's not a problem. It's only if he does the malachas. Even if you're cutting off the tree, it's only if he cuts off the tree specifically for you. If he cuts the tree for himself, that's
like
okay.
Going making coffee.
In the hotel, sure. Okay? Says Mar, in Florida, you weren't in a hotel, were you? Okay. Says Mar, I was wondering if that was on your mind. Says Gemara. Says Mar, Uchad Tamin min Rabbi Sami. A certain student, Rabbi Sami, also Lantelus. He went to the city of Antelus, I know what it is. Isolate Durmskana. They brought him some sort of food called Durmskana. Somebody says what it is. What it is not germane to our discussion. So they brought him the Durmus kind of Achal, and he ate it. So we see that that it must be that Rabbi Simoi holds that Akum Ein Tzorech Chachin, doesn't require Achana. Asa Tami, Chad Tami Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, also Tamon. So one of the Yeshua ben Levi went there. Isulei Durmus Kana, they brought him Durmus Kana, Veluacha, he wouldn't eat. Asa v'amar kumi rabbi, and he came told his rabbi, Rabbi Shulman Levi, that there was this Talmud Rabbi Simai who was eating. So Amar, so Rabbi Shulman Levi said, "Do not kashitas rabbi. This is like he holds like his rabbi, the Rabbi Simai Amar, ain't akum tzriichim alchein. They don't need preparation." Rabbi Shulman Levi said, "Dam nios shabekerem arelu asuros." Now, dam nios are some sort of growth, some sort of fruit which grows in the vineyards, and when they grow there, they're also because of kilim, because they're not the same as as grapes, and obviously there's some forest, something which makes kilim, and they're forbidden. I don't know if they're also banoa like kilia karam. I don't think so. It's not a type of grain. It means that if they grow in the vineyard, it's like kilay zroim or kilay ilan, you must uproot them. Okay. Rav Chunin b'Shem Rav said, Hashitim Shabakipim, however, a very poor type of date, which is basically considered to be like a thorn bush. So if they grow together, the Shitim are. Yeah, so they grow together with regular palm trees and regular dates, Haylin would turn they're permitted because they're very similar. So Damanios, I guess of some similarity, the grapes were not enough to make them mutter. Maybe it's like cherries. Because something similar to grapes, you know. You know what I mean? So therefore, if they grow together, it's kilayim. Because they're not exactly the same fruit.
Israeli song that has the word Damanios in it. Damanios, which you love of.
Rav Chunin b'Shem Rav said Hashitza Shevakim, I don't know the songs, but I know the history. Hashitza Shevakim and Raylan Mutarim, the poor dates with the regular dates, Raylan Mutarim, it's going to be a form of key line. Ah, we go, Behemoth Sukenis, an animal which is in danger. Now, the reason why, so in the old days, they weren't so good into this health thing. They had an animal which was dying. So they slaughtered it so they can chop a rind and eat it, right? So, famous Kenneth Loishchot, Ellen Kendo Desh, Yochol, Lechol, Mimena, Kazayat, Slimi, Bodyom. Kanishnacha, on the other, unless you have enough time to actually consume a Kazayat of it roasted, obviously it's the quickest way to cook it, you don't have to salt it, right? But before Yontif ends. Even if you get a raw Kazayat, steak tartare, out of the neck, which is available to you most readily, that's okay. Shachta b'sadeh, if you shechta the animal out in the field, lo yivena b'moit v'mota. It's not, doesn't pass to bring it in, carrying it on a rod, on a stick, because that's like uvda d'chol. So you carry things in a weekday. Rather, elev avamivir b'yado evarim evarim, you bring it limb by limb. So as not to make a zilzun covered yontif, you bring it steak by steak, and put it around the field and bring it back like that. Okay? Rabbi Bavishim, the name of the rabbis in Bavel said, Shachta, Vachu Ze'evim B'nei Me'a, what happens if you shechted an animal out in the field, and wolves came and ate its lungs? In this specific case, it's innards, but here it means the lungs is what concern. Kishela, he didn't do b'tika on the lungs, right? He didn't check them to see if they're kosher. So we say shecheskas b'nei me'ayim l'kosher. We assume lungs are mostly kosher, right?
Those are the good old days.
No. Even today, if you can't check, you assume it's kosher, because the majority is kosher. But it's the takana the rabbanon. As long as you have the lungs, specifically to check it. The kosher lomar. Why are we not afraid? Shemaniklu, maybe they have a hole. Now, this actually is talking about the reason why this is pertinent to our Mishnah is, as Rabbi Akiva said in our Mishnah, that you can chop a rind and eat a kezayis from the base of shechita raw. Why does he not make you check the lung first? Right? Just like the question, B'chash Lomar is really going both on the case where you lost the lung to wolves, and the case of Rabbi Kiva, where he says just chop a rind and take exercise from the base of shechita without checking the lung. Why is that? Shechash lomar shemanikvu. So says more cheskas b'nei me'ayim ksherim, because we assume that most cases it's Torah. Again, if we can, it's kosher. If we can, we check. If we cannot, then we're not makbid. The famous case which we've discussed in the past about that is Korn Pesach, right? Er Pesach, who had time to check all the reyes, so they just, that time, they just let it go and all assume that all the animals are kosher. Okay? Says Amar, considering the last one, Mishnah, Tanava, Viviahu Agav Oiro. Now, you want to bring back, obviously, when you slaughter an animal out of the field, it's very important to you to get the hide back to civilization, because the hide is worth a lot of money. So how do you bring the hide back? You leave, when you're skinning the animal in order to get out the meat, you leave one limb attached to the hide. And that actually allows you to carry the hide, because now the hide becomes tafel to the limb, and that's how you get everything in without being mezalz on kavod yontif. See, we have etzes for everything. Halacha dav, b'chor shenapal labor, a b'chor fell down into a well on yontif. So Rabbi Yehuda Meir Yered Munche, well, of course, the b'chor, when it's in its pristine state, you can't do anything with it. It has to be a korban, right? So Rabbi Yehuda Meir Yered Munche, an expert can go down, b'yurim yesh b'mum. You should see if it has a mum, in which case the Alav Yishchot, you're allowed to take it up and slaughter it. And if not, you may not slaughter it. You only slaughter it, you have to go down and see if there's a mum. If there's no mum, you have to leave it down for left yontif. From Shimon said a very big chumrah, unless the mum was recognizable from before yontif began, ain't the minamucha, it's not going to be repaired, and you can't eat on yontif. Rabbi Yehuda, so I have a question, Rabbi Yehuda. The teeth of Amil Adur and Sechtav Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda Meir, Im Lois on Avail Meir of Shabbos, Asura, if it wasn't available from before Shabbos begins, and an animal drops dead on Shabbos, you can't feed it to your dogs. Vishayimin Amuchim, when it was alive, was not considered to be edible by dogs, and now that it's dead, it became prepared on Shabbos, it's forbidden. So says Gemara, Rabbi Vachu Marachain, I understand. So how here can Rabbi Yehuda say that you can the animal which did not have a mum before yontif, when it falls down into the well or the pit on yontif, you can check it as a mum, right? It wasn't prepared for any for yontif. So says the Gemara, a very interesting answer. Rabbi Yehuda kedaiti. Rabbi Yehuda follows his own reasoning. Rabbi Yehuda amar ena mumcha teira. You don't need a mumcha doraisa. Now the way the Korban Egg explains this, really it had a mum from before yontif began. Just that we needed to get an expert mum seer in order to paskin that it's mutter, right? But Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not essential to have a mumcha. It's just that mumchim usually know best. The experts know best. So that's why you call an expert. But really, any plain guy can say it's mutter that it's not a b'chor because it's got a mum. So therefore, the fact that a mum before yontif suffices, even though no kohen actually, no expert came actually to see if it had a valid mum or not, because that's already considered to be beginning the process before yontif, but that's okay. Okay, so it's already considered to be mucha.
Doesn't that open up to a lot of...
Oh, sure. The maisa, we have to, despite that, be makbir on an expert, but that's not the ikra din. The ikra din is, I would tell you, don't need an expert. Rabbi Chuda B'Shem, Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Yehuda, Armish is like Rabbi Yehuda, said a fascinating thing. Of course, it is Rabbi Yehuda, but it's like another Rabbi Yehuda, who said an amazing thing. He said that looking at a mum on a b'chor is like looking at the treifus on an animal. But when you slaughter an animal, you have to, you're allowed to check it. If you have a shiloh of treifus, so you check it, right, to see if it's not a treif or not. Does the fact that you have a shiloh of treifus make it now no, not food? And Mukta said no. Because it's a shiloh. It doesn't change its status, it's a shiloh, right? So too, Rabbi Yehuda said an amazing thing. He said that a b'chor bomb, b'chor is really food. Just that right now it doesn't have a mum. So when it has the mum, you go and ask the shiloh on the mum. But it's not that previously to that it wasn't food. So therefore the pasking on the mum is like pasking on treif. It doesn't change the status of the animal. Whatever the status of the animal was, it still is and still will be. The question there, however, is just then becomes a peripheral one. Can you paskin on the animal on yontif? And of course one can paskin on an animal on yontif. So I can take a chicken to the roof to see if it's kosher treif. I can take also this behemoth to the mumcha, the expert, to see if it's a valid mum or not. So it's psak and not hachon. The animal should be a muchon even when it's a b'chor, because everybody's looking forward to the time when it gets a mum, but it has to be a special psak that it has the mum, just like you have to pask a treif as mutter. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yudan, boy, Rabbi Yudan asked on this. Demai mitivrayim. If that's the case, let's say the following svara. Demai is the rabbonah to take trumas and maisers off questionable commodities, even though most amaratim take maiser off. It's halacha the rabbonah. For he has treifa mitivrayim. And checking out a treifa is also mitivrayim. Now, it doesn't mean checking out a treifa. Checking out a treifa, it's mamish treifa, it's toraisa. It means to check the lungs. To check the lungs in the shlachtois in the slaughterhouse, that's a derabbanan, right? Because midiraisa we lie in rove. So if that's the case, the kavasam our fish is a kamad atama roim as a treifa. You just said we can paskin on lungs on yontif. So too the kavasam our fish is a dmai biyontif. Let's be able to take off the maya and yontif as well. One's a Darabon, the other's a Darabon, and let's be Mati both. Now, the Gemara doesn't answer, but one could give a very simple answer, which is obviously that being Rolos HaTrefa doesn't involve any Maisa to make it better. Whereas taking off Demai is, of course, a Tikkun. So obviously one can ask the one and not the other, very simply. But the Yerushalmi just ends with the Kasha and doesn't expand the differences. Okay?
Well, we've had that come up before.
You can't take off Demai and Yotzer.
Right.
The question is, why not? If you can see, check out along, why can you take off the mind? So that's what one has to distinguish. The Gemara itself doesn't bother distinguishing. That's all I'm saying. Okay? Says the Gemara, the Obishem Rabbi Yisrael said, Kol Shemumo Nikar, Mi Erev Yontif, any time there was a mum which was recognizable from before Yontif began, Veloitir Mumcha Elbi Yontif, but a mumcha did not take a look at it until Yontif, Ain't Zemina Mumcha, it's not going to be repaired, not like we've been saying till now, it's not going to be repaired, and therefore you can't slaughter it on a Yontif. Vatani, I don't stand. What about the following Brisa, which said, Egel b'chor shenolam min ha-trefa. If you have an egel, a calf, which is a b'chor, shenolam min ha-trefa, which came out of a mother who's a trefa, beyond of its mutter. On yont of its mutter. How does it become mutter? It wasn't prepared. Its mother wasn't prepared, because its mother was a trefa and was certainly not designated to be food. So how is the kid prepared? It must be that the kid is prepared because you don't need hachana, right? You don't need to be making the b'chor independently, regardless of whether it's mukhan or not. It's mutter, like we said previously. So why is it saying that it has to be mukhan? So says the Gemara, tipata shavar mumchevro. Cop-out answer. So about a case where the calf was seen just before Yontif. Even though it wasn't yet fully born, I guess it was in the process of being born. It was seen as it was being born, and you saw a mum, and that's why it's mutter. Okay? Which is very difficult, but that's what I want to say, that already was mucha mi bodyam, was prepared away from before him to begin. Says the Gemara, Asa uvdu kum Rabbi Yami, a mice came in front of Rabbi Yami with a bechor. They saw a man, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon, look, Rabbi Yudah, they wanted Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yudah is the one who's Mekel, Rabbi Shimon is the one who's Machmir. Look at Rabbi Yudah, we can make like Rabbi Yudah, and that means that a bechor gets a mum, even a yontif one can eat it. I said, Rabbi Yishya, Mastisa, the Bar Kapora, Mitroimo. So Rabbi Yishya brought a Mishnah from Bar Kapora in the south, Vitana, actually a Brisa, Vitana says, Chachor min kosher mumo nikar, mi erev yontif, lo yitir mumchel bi yontif. A case that is a mum, which is recognized before yontif, but a mumche only came, an expert only came a yontif, ain't a mina mukhan. It's not prepared like Rabbi Shimon who's machmir. It's not necessary to be fully prepared yet. And for chazar ba, he reneged from his intention to pass like Rabbi Lekul and he passed like Rabbi Shimon lechumra. Okay, now the next story really is not relevant to here. It just got slept in because there's some similarities. Also, this notion of lebor, you have a mother and child calves or cows which fell into a boar. So the halacha is you can't check them both on the same day, right? Right? So this is not a shechut the same day. What do? You can't take both out of the boar because they're muktzah. The only reason you can take both one out of the boar is because you want to eat it. But you certainly can't take both out of the boar, so what do? So Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yalasavisham Nasavishko, you take out the first one with the intent, the full intent, of shechting it, right? Don't shecht it. V'yarin, then make a ruse. V'yalas Arsheni, and take up the second one and say, whoops, I didn't really want the first one, I wanted the second one. So that's aroma, that's a ruse for getting them both up out of the boar, right? Oh, I skipped, didn't I? I read Rabbi Shua first. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Rabbi Lezer may yalas Rishon nas lishchot v'yishchot. Rabbi Lezer says you have to take the first one that comes to your hand up and slaughter it. Vashen said, which now are now to slaughter it because it's either the son or the mother of the one which was slaughtered, and now to be slaughtered on the same day. Oslo parnosim in kamer shlo yomus, you toss down straw and hay into it to eat down in the well of pit that it shouldn't die by the time you're allowed to take it off. Out during the next weekday. Rabbi Shua Meir, Yalla Sarisha, Rabbi Shua is the one who says you make a ruse. Take the first one out of the Yishchot with the intent to shecht it, for Yishchot, but don't shecht it, and say, whoops, I wanted the second one. For Yarim, Yalla Sarsheni, and then you take up the second one. Afal Pishlo Chishev, Lishchot Echomem, even though it was all a ruse, your intent was only to slaughter one of them regardless, Mutter nonetheless remains permissible.
Well, What does Rav Shua do with the first cow that's been taken up?
Leave it out. Oh, no.
Just leave it roam?
Oh, great. It's on the rim of the boar. Right. So just leave it roam. Right. In the corral, wherever. So don't push it back. Right. That would defeat the ruse. Rabbi Merchia, boy, Rabbi Merchia asks, Rabbi Lezer seems to contradict himself. Tamru Amir Mutzal Harim, by Chala on Erev Pesach. On Pesach itself. Yeah, the problem is that if you separate Chala from the dough, as you're supposed to, so it's going to rise. It's Erev Pesach. It's on Pesach itself. It's going to rise. So if it rises, it becomes chametz. So if it's Erev Pesach, you can burn it. But if it's Pesach, you can't burn it. So what do? So Rabbi Yeshua says, just take it off. And if it rises, it's not your problem. It's challah. It doesn't belong to you anymore.
Cold water?
Yeah, he gives the possibility of putting in cold water. Rabbi Elazar, however, says that what you do is you bake the whole thing. Because you don't, and don't designate challah until it's over, right? Until it's in the oven. Once the oven say, oh, that part I want to be challah. And then, of course, at that point, you leave it in the oven so it burns to a crisp and never becomes chametz, right? So that's a ruse, because technically you're supposed to take challah off from the dough, not from the dough and separate it, not just designate it. So that's a ruse. But there, Rabbi Lezer allows you to use the ruse. Here he doesn't. What's the difference, right? Here it says forbidden. The reason why they allows you to is because otherwise he thinks you're going to transgress by Ra and by Matzah. Now, not literally, because it's not your Chal anymore, right? It belongs to the Kohanim. But since you're going to have Chometz in your midst, and that's a bad thing, so if we say do it up front before it becomes Chometz, right? Here, why was he not makel, and why did he not allow a ruse? Mechavish does Rabbi Shua, similarly Rabbi Shua, it's difficult. Tamar Amar Oslarim, but Chali says you got to take it off before you put it in the oven, not afterwards. And if he comes Chametz, no, may it becomes Chametz, but you can't do Arama. But here he says Mutalarim, in terms of the Osov Espino, you can take them both up one at a time. So how do we reconcile two positions? Rabbi said, "Kan shvus v'kan chiyuv chatos." By taking animals up on yontiv, it's only nisut to rabbanon, a muksa. Right? Animals are muksa to rabbanon, so nishkefel rabbanon can be mekel. But there, over there, we're taking off challah from dough. Challah from dough is a chiyuv daraisos. Therefore, you have to do it the proper way, right? So it says, "I'm ready." But the temple also is no chatos because they're both misa. Well, yontiv is not even misa; it's malchus. And Tevel's Misa B'dei Shamayim. So there's no Chiyuv Chatos. But what it means is there's a potential capital penalty. The capital penalty would be either Misa B'dei Shamayim in case of Yetzirah, which is on tithe, or you get, it's not B'dei Shamayim, but you have Malchus, right? Transgress the law if it's Yontif. So amen. So there he didn't allow you to do the ruse because it's a more severe issue. On Rabbi Yezer Abun Hacha, here he lets you do the ruse for the bottom line. Welcome back. In order to save Jewish money. Right? It's like the half dying of wear down there. How are we going to... Good veal. How can we let it, become... die. So, time my Yisrael remain, but over there, so... the challah become chametz. It's no big loss. Anyway, no coin needs challah b'zman, so what's the big deal? Rabbi Yitzhar Yishu Chad Kodein, Rabbi Yitzhar Chad Kodein. One of them held. Rav Edi, I forget what Rav Edi says. And what says for Rav Yossi Barbun? Where are these names? Kanch was Kanchiv Chatos. One said distinction between one is Rabban and one's the Raisa. And one said, like Rabbi Yossi Rabun, the distinction is that one place where Makbid on the money of Jews, that's by those of us who know, but Bechal is no money to be Makbid on. Okay, Behemoth Shemesa. An animal which dies loses its enemy and coming out to move from its place. Maisa Shasholus are Meir Olea Valachala Shanit Meis. Rabbi Tarfon, sorry, not Rabbi. Once asked Rabbi Tarfon about an animal that's died, can you move it? And about a chal which became tummy, can you move it? Nichas the Beis HaMedesh, the Shol, and he asked, Omerloi said, Loi Zim, you're not allowed to. Shmo Amai Tol Chamishas Kainim, they're all wrong. Shaurul Rabbi Tarfon Balua that he can't move the animal. Because Allah is that you, that all animals, even ones that are dropped dead, are considered to be Muchan for clothing. Because you always have in the back of your mind that if I can't use it for any other purpose, I'll use it to feed the dogs. Okay? Amra Masta Bivchorabuta. No. The fives came right because it wasn't talking about a regular animal which if it drops dead, if the dogs, it was a Bichor. Bichor, if it drops dead, it retains its Kedusha, so it couldn't be fed to the dogs. So you have to wait it out. You had to wait out till the end of Yontif. You couldn't move it on Yontif because it was muktzah. The bchor, what you can do with it? You can't even feed it to dogs. So therefore, you have to wait it out.
We have a price which indicates this. It says a leva chala shenit meis.
It's all our Mishnah, not a price.
It says that it and chala shekain tami can't move. Mazu kodesh is like chala is holy. Abzu so to the animal which dies is kodesh must be bchor. Now, boom, come here, lady. That's for a lady. Fascinating question. My loss is a treif of baisofo. Can you look at a treif of paskin? If it's treif, check the lungs in a dark room. Amrissi said, no. Laapik labari, you have to take it outside. So, interesting. I saw it, but the Yushami Anvor brings down halach lemaisa, one can't check the night. Why? You have to check the rays by the light of the day.
What do they do with feeling?
There's bdikas pnim and bdikas chutz. Bdikas pnim is with feeling, bdikas chutz when they take it out and visually examine it.
They blow it up.
They don't always have to blow it up. They have to examine it if they have a chashash, and sometimes they blow it up. But in any event, there's also such a thing by Maris Nida. When a woman has a blood stain, so you're not supposed to look at it at night, especially not by incandescent light, because it changes the color, right? White light, actually, fluorescent light is not so bad, but incandescent light actually makes things look redder. So, I was told once, first time I learned about this, that women are very makpid when they wear makeup to find out the lighting, the places where they go, so they know what kind. I've seen not all women, but some women, to know exactly what makeup is matim to what kind of lighting. Okay, that's how we make shalos ani yisha. Okay, so in any event, so here too, you can't look at the trefa in a dark room. Even the carbonate says candles are good enough. It has to be either natural light or something equivalent to that. And again, the candles are taka not so good for Nida, as I told you, because it gives everything a reddish tinge. You prefer fluorescent light. I think people like Rabbi First have special fluorescent lights in their study to look at Maris because of that. Okay? So name it, so says the Gemara, wait a minute. Rabbi boy, he asks like this. Come on. Shaman, I've heard... Can't look to see if it's tzaras in a dark room. Did you ever hear such a thing? They now look at a treif in a dark house? Nobody ever heard such a thing? Says Rabbi Yisrael, you know, the truth is, that which Rabbi Levi said, don't look in the dark house. You're right, it's not because of the dark. It's because Elishema Timotzi Treifa. Because maybe it's a yontif, and you'll find that the animal's taka treif, but also the tautlan, you'll have to be stuck with a dead animal in your house over yontif. So you have to take it out first. Because he held, like the Tanah and our Mishnah holds, so you're not allowed to move it on yontif, right? Asi the Ramasal Shemo, so Ramasal holds like Shemo, you can move it. That's why he said, our Mishnah talked about Bechor. With the Levi, he holds that even a regular animal you can't move, Kirav, and that's like Rav who said that you can't move a regular animal which dropped dead, so Yotav drops dead in Yotav. Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Shmuel said, Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, that if it wasn't available from before Shabbos, even though it drops dead on Shabbos, when it drops dead on Shabbos, you can't move it, it's not going to be Muchan L'Klavim, since it wasn't designated for that purpose from before. Yontif began, or Shabbos began, and therefore you have to leave it where it falls on Shabbos or Yontif, unless, of course, you did like Levi and you were smart, you took it out before you looked at it. First move it, then ask his questions later.
Yeah, but when you move it, it's not moving. So.
Yeah, but you don't know yet if it's treif or not, so therefore it's our aroma. It's the same thing we had our aroma previously. Hey, we're very good at loopholes. We specialize in loopholes.